This is a mystery story about a fish, 30 fish, snatched from the frigid waters of the Arctic. And nobody knows where they came from. The Arctic is warming at an alarming rate. It's prompting scientists to scurry around and pin down some unanswered questions about the region's ecosystem.
Because we just know so very little.
There's such little information that's known.
We just don't know.
There's actually no real knowledge.
That's something we really don't know.
Nobody knows really exactly.
Right now, we can't say.
Really important things that people don't really know a lot about.
There's a lot of questions.
The habitat of many Arctic species is changing right now. This story takes a look at one of those animals, Arctic cod. This story and the research it describes is supported by research grants from the North Pacific Research Board and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Alaska Fisheries Science Center. Music by VLVX. It was the summer of 2012. A large ship navigated the Arctic waters of the Chukchi Sea. Aboard was a vast assortment of scientific gear and a collection of research scientists. NOAA fisheries biologist Dr. Ben Laurel was not on this research cruise, but he is an expert in Arctic cod development and was acutely interested in what they might find.
We just know so very little about the spawning life history of these animals. The question that we have is where these spawning grounds are.
This is the mystery, and this is why solving it matters. Arctic cod play a critical role in the region's food chain. They're a link between plankton and top predators. Their habitat used to freeze up for most of the year, which kept things pretty isolated. But now, the ice-free season is getting longer and longer, opening up Arctic cod habitat to a host of activities. And it's difficult to protect spawning grounds if we don't even know where they are.
If there's increased boat traffic, for example, maybe we want to know where those spawning grounds are. Certainly with any plans for oil development, this is biological information that right now we can't say. We just don't have.
Why don't we know where they spawn? Mostly because the information is just too difficult to get. We've got a rough window, some point between November and March, which means it happens under the ice.
As under the ice, everything gets more difficult.
Like the logistics and the mere $30,000 a day price tag for a research ship.
Just the transit of the ship to the place of interest up in the Arctic, it's a lot of money, a lot of time.
We can't just go out in the ocean that time of year. It's just not practical to be searching around for spawning locations. You can't go out and just directly measure it in the field. You have to have other approaches.
And that's just what a team of researchers, including Laurel, is doing. They're studying the Arctic cod in a more controlled environment and combining clues like fish behavior, their likes and dislikes, with other information about their habitat, in the hopes it could help solve the puzzle about where their lives began. But someone needs to identify, collect, and assemble the clues.
My name is Kathleen Vestfalls, and I'm a postdoctoral fellow working with the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and I'm currently working on a modeling project.
What modelers do, Vestfalls explained, is use the tools they have access to, such as information on fish and ocean behavior. For example, the locations fish have been found before, and ocean current circulation patterns. She puts all these pieces into a computer program to hopefully reconstruct the fish's journey.
To see if we can predict where we can find it.
It's exciting work, says Vestfalls, because, for the most part, these surveys have only occurred during the summer.
There's this whole part of the year that we don't know anything about.
Vestfalls' job is the gatekeeper, the inbox and mixing bowl of pertinent Arctic cod information. she gathers and assembles the pieces for her model.
My role was to synthesize everything that we could possibly find out about Arctic cod early life history stages, learning as much as I can about the fish and putting that information into the model so I can have the most accurate reflection of what the fish are doing at each development stage.
Here's the concept. Vestfals makes an educated conjecture of where in the ocean Arctic cod hatch, enters it into the model, and hits play. She's programmed the model with all sorts of information that affects the dispersal or movement patterns of the fish.
Capture location, how the currents are moving, temperature and salinity, equations from physical oceanography, joint Russian and U.S. surveys, ocean circulation model, individual-based particle tracking model, records of larvae and eggs, their swimming speed, their position in the water column, what we know about the species and how they grow.
All this information helps recreate their dispersal track after they hatch. The Arctic cod collected during the summer of 2012 were 1 to 2 inches, so we know one place they actually have been found once they reach that length. If the model projects that the virtual fish spawned in the location Dr. Vestfals selected are at 1 to 2 inches in the same spot the actual fish were collected, bingo! If not, Vestfals keeps inputting different hatching locations. Again, here's Dr. Laurel.
If we can get enough of the biological parameters that are important, the best oceanographic data that we have, then we can run that model and hopefully come to some reasonable estimation of where these spawning locations are for Arctic cod.
Using a model to help recreate movement patterns is a method that's been employed in oceanic plane crashes to try and recreate a plane's movement after it first hit the water. How reliable that model is depends largely on obtaining accurate, comprehensive and relevant information, including fish ecology.
That's my role, to provide biological parameters for the species that are of interest.
You have to know rates of growth, rates of development. You have to know the environment. You have to know in that environmental response, influence on those rates.
Those 30 Arctic cod found their way to the Hatfield Marine Science Center in Newport, Oregon. It's a quaint coastal community full of surfers, beachside promenades, good bakeries, some crusty bargoers. The Science Center is home to a complex of high-tech aquariums, officially known as the NOAA Alaska Fisheries Science Center Laboratory. This is where Dr. Laurel conducts much of his research.
We have a history of going into Alaskan waters and bringing back fish alive.
This NOAA laboratory is unique. It's a 25,000 square foot temperature controlled facility specifically designed to simulate Arctic conditions with a supply of flow through cold water versus a circulating water system, which is critical when studying the effects of temperature on fish development.
We're pretty much the only lab, I think, in North America that is actually doing this type of work on with this important fish species.
Well, I'll just explain right now where we are.
Yeah.
So.
He led a tour through a quarantine area, several rooms for culturing and growing a variety of live food, tanks of mature Arctic cod, and tanks of two-day-old Arctic cod.
Just now, these are Arctic cod hatching.
Dr. Laurel has been conducting experiments on the fish's development to feed into Vestfals' model.
I'm feeding the biology, and we're getting that biology in the laboratory where we can study these fish from the egg stage, the larval stage, and the early juvenile stage when they would normally be under the ice.
The original Arctic cod were collected as juveniles.
We kept those fish, and lo and behold, they began spawning in the lab.
But unlike salmon, they didn't die. They spawned the following year, and the one after that, for 5 years now.
Really what this project is capitalizing on is that we have now spawning fish that would normally be under the ice up in the Arctic, producing eggs. We've figured out the sort of husbandry protocols to rear them all the way back up now to adulthood. So we've got the whole life cycle complete now in the lab, and it gives us all sorts of opportunities of looking at these fish in their really early life history.
A majority of Laurel's research has focused on temperature, like what temperatures they grow best in at different life stages.
So temperature controls just about every aspect of the life history of the animal. Fish grow slower when it's cooler. We know they grow a little bit faster when it's warmer, but every species has their own sort of thermal window. It's kind of Goldilocks place where things are really optimal.
But that Goldilocks zone changes based on the age of the fish. Temperature affects the time an egg takes to develop. It can influence growth during other phases of the fish's life cycle, which can affect its survival potential. 0 to 5 degrees Celsius might be an ideal environment for the eggs.
But then that thermal optima shifts when they're larvae. Maybe they like it a little bit warmer, and then maybe even warmer still when they're juveniles, and they might go back again when they're becoming adults. This is what we're trying to figure out.
He also works a lot on food or energy. Since Arctic cod aren't exactly a standard home aquarium fish, he can't just go to a local pet store for fish food. So he grows it.
We're trying to see what sort of size and energy these animals need to survive that six-month period where it's dark and it's very cold.
He grows algae to feed to rotifers, these small invertebrates that comprise the fish's diets until they're 6 to 8 weeks old, or roughly 9 millimeters. Then they get a diet of artemia, or brine shrimp, which he also grows. All of this will help address the question of how much food and energy these fish need, especially in order to overwinter the cold, dark, and foodless season. The accuracy of Westfall's model is dependent on feeding it relevant results, so Laurel's research has to reflect actual Arctic conditions as best as possible.
We do drop the lights down. We do make the conditions very cold going from fall into winter. We're trying to keep things as ecologically real as possible so that when we do get eggs, we're not upsetting the natural balance.
This is why, despite having broodstock that are spawning in consecutive years, Laurel only uses results from experiments on wild collected fish.
So that we are a little bit closer to what selection pressures occurred out there as opposed to what's occurring into the lab.
After years of experiments, Laurel developed and fine-tuned growth rate equations specific for various life stages. Westfall plugs them into her model. It's a large and significant contribution, but there are others. The hard part is identifying what the other pieces are and playing triage, selecting those which more strongly influence the model's outcomes.
We want to feed these models the best biology. As a biologist, you know roughly what's important, and you get to those things first.
Besides the growth equations, the other big component is oceanography. Dr. Westfall has also plumbed her model with something called the PAROMS circulation model. It stands for Pan-Arctic Regional Ocean Modeling System, maintained by two oceanographic specialists at UAF, Seth Danielson and Kate Hedstrom, who are also co-investigators on this research project. This oceanographic model, as Westfall explains,
kind of a reconstruction of the circulation patterns of the ocean that physical oceanographers use to understand currents and how they move.
The PAROMS model is realistic, reproducing currents seen in the real world. It takes into account ice thickness, temperature, salinity. This is all tied to Laurel's growth equations. So conceivably, Westfall's model could use a spawning location at a particular time of year and factor in the water temperature, how the currents are influencing the egg's dispersal, and it would apply the relevant growth equation. This would play out through the life cycle of the fish, effectively answering,
how do they get to that spot in that place and time?
That spot and that place and time being where the Arctic cod have actually been seen in real life. But, say both Laurel and Westfall, there's still a lot of other useful information to consider, like
where these animals are in the water column. So if they're up on the surface, they're more exposed to wind and different set of processes, and if they're further down in the water column. So vertical distributions, that's where behavior comes into play.
If you're in a different layer, you're exposed to different currents and your trajectory would be different. So to see if which behavior routine better matches what we see in the field.
These kinds of influences on fish dispersal are just what Westfall is showcasing at her exhibit at the annual Marine Science Day. It's a day where all the agencies working from the Hatfield Science Center get a chance to demonstrate their current research to people like Grandpa Ken.
Who are you guys?
I'm Aiden. I'm Caleb.
I'm Bryce.
I'm Grandpa Ken. We're just over from Salem to visit the Marine Science Center.
Oh, you've got one more. What's your name?
Addison.
Westfall's display includes a tray of water with 9 lanes, each with varying current strengths and obstacles like ice chunks. The boys selected mock eggs of varying sizes and released them into lanes they had claimed ahead of time.
On your marks, get set, go.
There they go.
Those are going fast, girls. Good job.
Back in the laboratory, Dr. Laurel speculates about some of the bigger implications Vestfall's model could address.
Are these fish even coming from within the U.S. waters? There's a possibility that these fish are being spawned outside of the U.S. even. We don't know that. The models would be able to tell us pretty confidently whether or not that's possible.
Also, Laurel says, there's always one particular force behind any ecological work in the Arctic.
There's always this climate change question because it's really this region that's changing the fastest.
Arctic cod are cold-loving fish. The model might be able to tell how a 1 degree change in water temperature could affect the fish, like where they hatch, what their movement patterns are for the first few months of their lives.
How much does a change in the environment change these patterns? These fish have particular habitats and places they want to be when they're very young. Once you get above 4 up to 5 degrees Celsius, it's really lethal to these Arctic cod eggs.
Laurel and Vestfalls are the first to admit that this model won't be the definitive answer on Arctic cod behavior, though it is programmed with some of the best information out there.
I guess you have to put some stock into the rigorous scientific method. No model is 100% perfect. Sometimes people want like, okay, that's it, you know, it's done and that's it. Science is always evolving and you're finding out new things and you have to take that into improving the model every time.
Dr. Vestfalls has done just that. She spent this past winter improving the model, which begs the question, did it work? Was the project team able to hone in on plausible hatching areas?
We really did narrow down the mystery quite a bit.
That is the project's lead principal investigator.
My name is Franz Mueter. I'm an associate professor of fisheries at the University of Alaska Fairbanks.
Dr. Mueter has made a career of studying the Arctic ecosystem.
We had really no idea in the beginning where these fish are spawning, and now we know that they really must be coming from somewhere in the Bering Strait region, either on the Russian side or on the U.S. side or even as far south as St. Lawrence Island.
But, explains Mueter, this knowledge actually just creates another mystery. See, this region they've identified as likely spawning grounds.
It's usually ice covered in the winter, but the last few winters, there's been very little ice. So what that might mean for the future of the spawning population, we really don't know at this point.
Dr. Mueter was clear that the region identified as a likely spawning area has a degree of uncertainty.
But what it allows us to do is by narrowing down the spawning locations, we can now go out and do more targeted studies looking for spawning Arctic cod or looking for the eggs under the ice or looking for the very early stages of the larvae after they hatch.
He's even in the process of acquiring a special net to sample under the ice. Dr. Mueter explained that they've actively been working on refining the model to not only further the identification of where the fish spawn and hatch, but when.
That's an ongoing project with a master's student right now, so we can count the daily gross rings on their ear bones that then allows us to back calculate when they were hatched.
But even this seemingly black and white approach is pretty nuanced.
It happens somewhere between November and February, but not all at once. They tend to spawn in small batches or a few fish at a time, and then the eggs develop at different rates. And so the hatching is spread out even more, so it can extend over 4 months for all we know.
Dr. Mueter explained that ultimately the goal is to understand the full life cycle of Arctic cod, where they go during their first winter, where they spend their adult summers, and how they migrate back to their spawning locations and close their life cycle. In short, there is no shortage of work.
I think overall it was quite successful. It's an ongoing project, but I'm happy with where we ended up.
The story you just heard and the research it described were supported by a grant from the North Pacific Research Board through the University of Alaska Fairbanks and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration Alaska Fisheries Science Center. In addition to the scientific researchers portrayed in this story, other project contributors include Dr. Janet Duffy Anderson, an expert in early life history dynamics of fish at the NOAA Alaska Fisheries Science Center, Dr. Alex DeRobertis, an expert on acoustic assessments of fish at the NOAA Alaska Fisheries Science Center, and Dr. Colleen Petrick, former UAF postdoctoral fellow. Music by VLVX. In Juneau, I'm Amanda Compton.